Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Just want to say a quick thank you to every one of you who joined us for ELO last week and who celebrated our anniversary with us 2 weeks before. Thank you so much. Thank you. We are so blessed and we're so thankful. I also want to thank you very much for your prayers for Pastor Stella as she went over to Uganda. A powerful time of ministry that she had. We're really thankful. Let's just bless the Lord for protection, for his outpouring over her life, his goodness to the ministry out there and to the people that were partakers of the glory of God through her life. We pray that the seeds that have been sown will grow and become a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Do you have your Bibles today?
Yes, sir.
Did you come to church with your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
I didn't ask if you came with your phone. I said, did you come with your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
All right, lift them up. Lift up your Bibles. This never gets old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Just bear with me, okay? I'm in one of those zones. Amen, amen. Glory to God. All right, lift up your Bible. Say with me, this is the infallible Word of God. It is God's will, God's purpose, and God's promise for my life. I can be everything this word says I can be, and I can do everything this word says I can do. I receive into the prepared soil of my heart today the seed of the word of God, and I declare by faith that it is producing in my life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in Jesus' mighty name, amen, and amen. Shout one hallelujah before you sit down, amen. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. I welcome you all, and I thank you for joining us for this in-person service, and thanks to everyone that is online with us. We were very blessed by ELO last week.
Yes.
It's not the same as an in-person fellowship, you know. It's not really, there are some things you don't really get, but there are some things you get that we don't necessarily get during our in-person services. So we're truly thankful to the Lord for the blessing of it. After that service, I was just so excited, just like, let's have one more service this afternoon or something. Hallelujah. God is so good. All right. So let's get into the word. This year is coming quickly to a close. Somebody please say, slow down, 2021. You're going too fast. Yes, we're excited to get into 2022, but this is a little fast. You know, come on now. I mean, this is November. What's today's date?
Seven.
November 7th. Can you believe that? I thought we just started the year last week. November 7th already. Somebody say, slow down, please. Amen. You know, when it's so good, when the Lord is really working and when he's really moving, you feel like things are just going so fast. When there is nothing happening, you feel like he's slow. How many of you have been in a place where you just felt like, it's just so slow, we're just dragging, can you please move faster? You know why you feel that way sometimes? It's because there's not much happening. When there's a lot going on, you just feel like, oh my goodness, this is so fast, can you please slow down? Hallelujah. Last week during ELO, I took some time to minister to us on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must not be like it is in many believers' lives. It must not be, he must not be a footnote. In so many believers' lives, the Holy Spirit is just a footnote. If someone will remember once in a while, every now and then, you remember, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, I've heard this Holy Spirit. I heard 6 months ago. So, Holy Spirit, thank you. And then another 6 months, we remember again. It must not be so. The Holy Spirit must occupy the center in our lives, in our activities. You will never know true success in life until you come into close partnership with the Holy Spirit. A lot of the struggles of life and a lot of the challenging grind of life, you know, there's sometimes you can just grind through, you're just standing, you're just fighting, you're just standing on the word and you know you are going to make it. But some other times you're standing, but it's just so difficult. It's just so heavy. It's just so tiring, so burdensome. And many times when we go through life like that and it's so burdensome, it's so tiring, it's because the Holy Spirit is not really occupying the central stage. When the Holy Spirit is occupying his place in our lives, you know, even in our difficulties, there's just so much grace we engage. There's just so much grace that we experience. And so, you know, after last week's service, I knew, you know, I was so blessed by it. I'm talking about on our in-person services here during the month. I'm talking about Unprecedented. I've been doing that for a few months now. And during the ALO services, I'm ministering on taking the limits off. And there's a place where those two messages converge. And the place where both messages converge is really in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to take some more time today. I'm going to go back during this Unprecedented message series to talk again about the Word of God, the place of the Word. But I really want to just pull back today and revisit some of what we ministered on last week and emphasize a few things that I couldn't emphasize last week and put the light very squarely on the Holy Spirit. And you know, of course, between then and now, quite a number of things have happened already. I'm talking between last Sunday and now. I mean, this was a whirlwind of a week. It seemed for us. I mean, I can't even tell you about it. Between last Sunday's ALO and today, I mean, come on. It's like, and at the center of it all is what I'm ministering to us about the Holy Spirit. So let's start out. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. The Holy Spirit was right there at the very beginning. He was not a footnote in creation. The Holy Spirit was not a footnote. Can somebody say that with me? Say the Holy Spirit was not a footnote in creation. Let's say that again. The Holy Spirit was not a footnote in creation. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must not be a footnote in our lives today. Let's say that long one together. The Holy Spirit was not a footnote in creation. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must not be a footnote in our lives today. That's very good. Let's do it one more time. The Holy Spirit was not a footnote in creation. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must not be a footnote in our lives today. He was right there at the beginning. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Think about this for a minute. Before we learn about the blood of Jesus, before we learn about the favor of God, before we learn about the power of wisdom, before we learn about mercy, before we learn about most of faith and all these other things that have become tenets of our faith in God, of the gospel, the Holy Spirit. God put the light on the Holy. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit moved. Now, the Bible says it was without form and void. And those two, the two Hebrew words there mean it was ugly. It was ugly. It was not desirable. It was not nice. It was not good. Now, listen to this. Every one of our lives can be categorized, whether we're unsaved or whether we're saved, and whether we've been saved for a little bit or we've been saved for a long time. Every one of our lives can fall into these categories. Ugly, good, very good. Ugly, good, very good. Let me break that down a little bit. Now, in the process of creation, before the Lord actually did anything, it was ugly, wasn't it? It was just ugly. It was just plain ugly, undesirable. And I tell you, you know this as much as I do. There are so many lives all over the world and in the body of Christ who feel their lives are ugly. Now, listen to me now. They may not even say it. They may not even want to admit it. But if you ask them, and if they were honest with you, they will say to you, in their heart of hearts, they will say, why is my life so ugly? Why is it this way? It's ugly. Now, in the process of creation, before the Lord did anything, it was ugly. The Holy Spirit was there, but he just moved on the face of the waters, but he was not active doing anything. And that's how the story of our lives can be. When the Holy Spirit is there, we know he's there, he's just there around, but he's not active doing anything. It's ugly. There can be pain, hurt, just anger and bitterness and dead dreams and hopelessness and despondency and depression, and that's ugly. It's ugly. But when the Lord started to move, when the Lord started to create, you see that? It says there, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, verse 3, and God said. So the moment God got involved, and God spoke words, and God said, let there be light, or a translation says, light be, there was light. Immediately there was light. Watch verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Hallelujah. Suddenly, we went from ugly to good. Suddenly, what happened? God spoke words, the Holy Spirit went to work. God spoke words, the Holy Spirit went to work. Watch this though. Now, pay attention to this. You get a lot from this message. God spoke words, the Holy Spirit went to work in one area. In one area. Notice, he went from ugly to good in one area. What was this area? Light. What did light do? Light consumed the darkness. Light swallowed up the darkness. And of course, if you look in John 1, you know the very first thing we're told about was light too, after the word. Beginning was the word was God, and the same was in the beginning, and everything was great, nothing was greater, and the word was the light, and it was life, and in the life was the light of man. It's the first thing, right?
Yes, sir.
So, it went from ugly to good in one area because the Lord spoke light, and that light consumed the darkness. But watch this, it's good. But it's not very good. It's good, but it's not complete. It's good because we see signs and evidences. Oh, hallelujah. Of what it can be. We see signs and evidences of how lovely it can be when it is complete. But it is not complete yet. This is how many of our lives are as believers. We got out of ugly. And there's good in some areas. And many believers will talk about how it is good in this. Oh, it's, you know, wow, my job is so good. And my career, oh, is so good. Or my finances are so good. Or my relationships are good. And then you may say, how's your health? Not so good. Not so good. So, we went from ugly to good because the Lord spoke and the Spirit of God went to work. But good is just a foretaste of the completeness that the Lord has for you. This good here, suddenly we have light. But light swallowed up darkness, but darkness was not the only thing that needed to be changed in creation. And I'm not going to bore you. You know these scriptures in Genesis 1. So I don't want to read because I don't want to give you my time. But I mean, just go. The next few verses right there. God saw the light. It was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. And you go on to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the water. So he moved on to the next day, and what he wants to do now is he wants to separate the firmament. That separation was not there. There was a lot of confusion. Even though we have light, you know, light shows you what is there. Light doesn't introduce anything. It just shows you. If you go into a dark bedroom, if you go into a dark bedroom, which you left messy in your hurry to go out, right? And suddenly you come home where you're so tired, you just want to sleep. Ooh, you just want to jump on your nice, beautiful bed and you just turn on the light so you can, you know, put on your PJs and then you turn on that light. What is this? And the bed is a mess. The floor is a mess. You did it. So why did this light bring all this mess? No, the light just showed you. What was there? It exposed what was there. Thank you. The light just exposed what was there. Hallelujah. The light did not create the mess. Amen. The separation that needs to be made, you know, having light shows you what it can be. But then, once you know what it can be, then you've got to go to work. And create what it needs to be.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen.
And many times in our lives, we go from ugly to good in one area. We see what it can be, but that's not all. That's not God's best. And all the way, God kept creating one thing after the until he got to verse 31. And in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? It was very good. It was very good. For the first time we heard, it was very good. From the beginning, he created it, it was good. Right? The next one, he created this, it was good. I mean, you can go through. Created the firmament. created the seas, it was good. Right? Created grass, seed, a herb yielding seed, it was good. He created and separated the night from the day, it was good. Light in the firmament, it was good. Right? And on like that. Then he told man, be fruitful. Created, of course, created man. It was good. Created all the animals, the whales, the fish of the sea. It was good. But when he got to verse 31, he saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Behold, it was very good. Oh, listen to me, child of God. You can get something from this. Listen to me. You can get something from this. This good, praise God for the good that we have. We don't want the ugly. And if we have ugly, we need to let the Holy Spirit walk. We need to let the Word of God walk and get us out of ugly. And I'm not just talking to the unsaved here. Listen to me. I'm not just talking to people that haven't committed their life to Christ. People that haven't, you know, say, you know, I've made a commitment. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. No, I'm not just talking. I'm talking to even believers. Because a lot of believers, we have made that decision, we have committed our lives, but we're still living in ugly alley. Amen. The Lord's light already shone upon us. The Lord's word was already spoken. The Holy Spirit already went to work, but we keep stifling him, so we stay in ugly alley. And when the Holy Spirit wants to work and you stifle him, you stay in ugly alley. See, when the Holy Spirit wants to teach you how to love, how to walk in love, and forgiveness, that's what we're dealing with on Wednesdays, isn't it? So let's just use that as our example here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I just love the Lord. I tell you, I love the Lord and I love the way he walks. I love the way he walks. On Wednesday, when that service was being streamed, you know, there was actually something supernatural going on where that word of love and forgiveness needed to be spoken into the atmosphere. Needed to be the answer that somebody laid hold on. See, I take that. You know, you can go to psychologists, you can go, this is good. They're trained and you can do all these things, get therapy. They're good. Go to. But let me tell you, there is no miracle outside of the word of God. None. None. The word of God is the complete miracle that we need. The word of God is the complete miracle. It's like a surgeon's surgical. You know, the Bible compares it, it's sharper than a two-edged. The word of God can go into areas we didn't even know existed and can tear things apart and bring them back together and make us whole like we didn't think we'd ever be whole. The word of God does that. So let's use the example when the Lord wants to teach you how to walk in love and forgiveness. You know, if you want to go from ugly to good and the Holy Spirit starts teaching you about love and forgiveness, you've got to take it. You've got to quit making these excuses and keep talking about, sending blames. Is this, you just don't know, is the fault of that person, this one, what they did, how they, stop that. Stop that. He's teaching you about love and forgiveness. This is not the time for you to be apportioning blame and talking about, you just don't understand the root of my problem. You just don't know how I go. We don't know. We don't care how you got here. We want you out. I don't care how we got to ugly and the world was without form. And yeah, we will deal with that when so we don't go back to ugly. Let's get to good first. Then we will look at that ugly and say, how did we go there the first? Let's make sure we don't go back there in the future. But first, don't be diagnosing and analyzing the ugly. Get good. Come out of ugly alley and get good. How do you do it? You take the word. You take the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly challenging folks. All of us. He's constantly challenging us. He's constantly bringing things to our attention and telling us, I need you to do something about this. And the more yielded we are to him, the easier it becomes to go from ugly to good. When the Holy Spirit starts talking about, okay, love and forgiveness. If you accept it and you say, okay, I'm going to grow in this. I'm going to forgive. You know all these things you have been holding in your mind for 15 years? You even have a diary where you record. You should burn all those diaries, by the way. Some of you are writing things down. Negative things that impacted your life negatively. And what you don't understand is you are sowing seeds into your future that you will not be able to get out of. You need to get those diaries and burn them. The only thing that is worthy of recording in your life are the good things, the positive things that God has done in your life. All those negative, except you learn, the things you learn from them. Talk about the lesson. But all this ugliness, what somebody did and what somebody said and how somebody hurt you and how they betrayed you, and you have this huge diary. And what many believers don't realize, that memory is what is sending them to an early grave. And the Holy Spirit said, come, let's deal with your unforgiveness. It's time. Listen, if there is anybody in your life that you don't feel good about, you will not readily smile if they showed up. You still have animosity and you still have anger and bitterness about. It's time for you to be delivered. It's time for you to be set free. If you can't be, don't tell me you, oh pastor, that's easy for you. Because what do you know? I mean, you're just a pastor. Nobody's ever hurt you. You're kidding me? Are you kidding? You don't want to know. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. You don't even want to know. That's easy for you to say because you've never experienced betrayal. Seriously? You have no idea. You don't want to know. But when you take all of those negative experiences and burn them, the fire of the Holy Spirit help you burn them and bury them forever. And then you can turn a new page. And when you think about people, even people that have done you wrong, you can bless them. Say, Lord, bless this man. Bless this woman. Lord, wherever they are today, bless them. You know, you shouldn't think about people and suddenly bad thoughts and anger comes in your mind. You have a problem. You have a serious problem. And some people even quote scriptures with it. They say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did nothing. The Holy Ghost does not deal in strife. It's not dealing in your anger and your madness and your unforgiveness. It's the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. It's time to let it go. Drop it. It's been a few years now. I said, it's time to drop it. Invite them to dinner. If you can. And tell them I just want us to have break bread. When you break bread, share with them. I forgive you. You may not know you hurt me, but I forgive you. And some of those people will never go to dinner with you. That's fine. But make it clear to them, you have nothing against them. You have nothing against them. If they have a need in their life, you bless them. Remember one time, the Lord, I'm not talking about me. Hallelujah. If you will not forgive people, you have a problem. And that problem will keep you in ugly alley. The dreams you have for your future will not be fulfilled. Satan is using your unforgiveness and your failure to obey the instruction of love. He is using it to destroy what is left of the great future that God has ordained for you. I don't know if you understand this, but when God said light be, if light didn't show up, the firmament could not have been separated. The waters could not have separated. The fishes of the sea could not, the living thing, nothing else would have been created if that first one didn't happen. It's time. So when the Holy Spirit said, let's work on this, don't hunker down and say, you just don't know what they did to me, how they hurt my life, how they destroyed me. You don't know. No, God knows. He deal with them. Don't worry about it. And he may not deal with them because of his mercy if they are truly repentant. But if they are not repentant and they stay in their whatever, God will deal with them. But for you, let them go. Drop it. Leave it alone. Let it go. Amen. Let's go from ugly alley to good now. It's time to go to good. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's time to go to good. Come on. We've been in this ugly alley for too long. It's time to go to good. Come on. Life is too short. Life is too short for you to be bearing grudges. Life is way too short for you to bear grudges with anybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I see you going to good. Amen. I say, I see you going to good. Amen. Something good is about to happen to you. Amen. I said, something good is about to happen to you. Amen. And God will take you from good and take you to very good. Amen. You know how we got to very good? Because he kept doing good. And he kept doing good. He took maybe, let's stick with love and forgiveness. He took that area of your life and you started working with him in love and forgiveness. It became good. He moved from there and started dealing with you on other areas. He went from there, started dealing with you on other areas. Went from there, and as you yield, the more you yield to him, he'll say, good. The more you yield to him, he'll say, good. Do you know, when you stop yielding to the Father, you stop. He can't do more. The moment you stop yielding and say, this one, Lord, I will do everything else, but this one, I'm not going to let go. He say, okay, let's stop here. So yeah, it's good, but then there's still ugliness in areas. And if you are not careful, ugliness will corrupt the good. Yes. Amen. You know, it's easy to corrupt something that is good than it is for something good to influence what is evil. So if you leave that ugliness can eventually corrupt the good. So the Lord will keep working with you. He'll keep working with you. He said to you, this anger, it's time for you to give it up. Why are you always so angry? Why are you always so angry? He said, well, the world is a crazy place. Yeah, why are you making him crazier by your anger? Crazy and anger does not become good. It's ugly. Yeah, the Lord say, this your malice. Malice. Right? It's time to get rid of this malice. Then you go from malice. Self-will. This your self-will. Let it go. Let it go. Self-will. You know? Life is too short. Some of these little things destroy lives. They destroy our lives. Someone can, as a result, you know, the scripture says offense, you should not let offense come. Someone, as a result of something you did, and that you insisted on, even though the Lord convicted you, it was wrong, and you needed to change course about it, but you insisted because of your hard-headedness. That will bring destruction not only to you, but to so many other people. And you'll be responsible for it. Bible says it is impossible for offense not to come. So offense will come. But when offense comes, you get rid of it like you do everything else. You get rid of, like you get rid of unforgiveness, like you get rid of malice. You get rid of that offense. I'm not taking you in the name of Jesus. You are not. You know how many people get angry just because somebody did something to them and for 15 years they will not let it go? And the day they finally say what happened, you will be shocked. No, seriously, you will be totally shocked. Seriously? The person may not even have been paying attention. And they said, this is what you did. This is why I have not talked to you in 15 years. Seriously? I was not even aware. They said, no, but you did it. But I know you did it because you didn't just do it one time. You did it three times. I counted. You did it on January 1st. You did it on March 15th. You did it on July 8th. Ha! Then you wonder why they are dealing with ugly. It's time to let it go. So the Holy Spirit will deal with what I know this is funny, but I want you to see this picture. God wants to take you to very good. Your life can become complete, folks. Oh, glory to God. Your life can become complete. God can take, he can do unprecedented in your life. He can take you from ugly to good to very good. How does he do it? The word of God. You take the word. The Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more you give God ground or room to work in your life, and the more he perfects his word in your life. Let's take a few minutes here and talk about this Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 7. I'm always amazed when people talk about how it's coming. I think if we haven't done it yet, it's coming. I think it was Peter who asked the Lord, how many times should my brother forgive me, offend me, that I am supposed to forgive? Because for them, it's like, okay, forgive, we heard that. I don't mind, I do it one time, two times. But how many, they asked the Lord. Right? Okay, I'll do it one time, two times. Listen, this is in the root. This is in the root of most divorces. This is at the root of most divorces. It's like irreconcilable differences. And I understand that, you know, the devil can really walk through parties, through principalities walk through personalities, and he can really walk through people. But understand this, in for the most part, for true believers, people who are really, like people who are sitting under the word, like you and I are doing today, and listening to this word, you can't take this word home and you and your spouse say, we have irreconcilable. It's impossible. It is just impossible. You cannot hear this message today and go home and say, we have irreconcilable difference. Where is the irreconcilable difference? Because the two of you heard the same word. The two of you got solution from the same word of God that gave you answers as to how to deal with problems. Let it go. Okay, it's ugly. I accept it's ugly. I want to fix it. Let's fix it. I don't know how to fix it. Two things. The word, the Holy Spirit. Right? All right, it's ugly, I agree. Let's start from there. I agree, I drink. It's ugly, I drink. Okay. But I don't want to continue that. I want good. So let's get out of ugly alley, let's go to good. How are we going to do it? The word, the Holy Spirit. There's no controversy there. Okay, I'm ready to yield to the word. And I'm ready to yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's start working. And we start working, guess what? What used to be ugly will become good. You can't, where is the irreconcilable difference? Where? He said, we argue, we just couldn't agree on who was right. Where did the Bible say for you to decide and determine who is right in your argument? Where did you see it? Where the Bible say you, there's a word for argument. Some people think there are blessings for who can argue more. And many times we don't realize those arguments are the very things that are destroying our lives, taking away our peace. Who can talk more? Who has more grammar? Right? Who has more volume of words? I know I'm reading your mail today. Yeah, right. Who has more words? Who can speak more? When we go at it, who can speak more? Where is the award in the Bible for who can speak more? Where is it? And be careful the words you put in the atmosphere. I said to someone this past week, and I know Pastor Tinu is aware of this, I said, only God knows how many years you have put these words in the atmosphere. You put these words in the atmosphere year after year after year, and finally you got the fruit of it. Finally you got the fruit. And people say, how did this happen? You spoke the word year after year. Mm-hmm. in your anger, in your willingness to maybe call the other person to order, in your desire to get attention, in your desire to create a threat. But the more you speak those, where did you see there was darkness in Genesis 1? Where did you see God say darkness? He didn't speak it one time. He never spoke that word darkness, not even once. Not even once. You didn't hear it from his mouth. What did he say? Light! Yes, darkness. Everywhere you look, there was darkness. But what did God say? Did he say, oh, see how bad this darkness is? Yeah, people think there's an award for being able to critically analyze the problem and put out all the words. You are just destroying your future. You're just destroying your future. Where did you see God? And sometimes when you confront people with the word, then all the walls go up, all the defenses go up. And I'm just tired of that. If we're going to live with the word, let's live with the word. Listen, all of us can be really bad unbelievers. So if we want to go and be unbelievers, let's go and let's enjoy that life and go to hell with them. But if we want to do God and we want to do kingdom, let's do it. Let's do it. And doing word and doing kingdom doesn't mean you come in perfect. Doesn't mean you are even ever on this earth going to be perfect. There's only one person who's ever been perfect, and his name is Jesus. So if we're going to be imperfect, but we are going to do the word and we're going to do the kingdom, then let's do it with every imperfection that shows up. Let's accept. Yes, it's ugly, but I'm willing to change it. I'm willing to let it go. And then let the Holy Spirit and let the word of God begin to change it. But don't put those words out. I'm just an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Because you are looking for an excuse. You are looking for something to lean on. Yeah, I just lie, you know. I lie because from the very first time, I remember my mom put the candy in the refrigerator and I didn't know what happened. I went and stole the candy. I was so afraid when she asked me, I lied. And then I did it the second day and then I did it. And then today now, I'm 44 years old, but I still lie. I think it's because when I was a little child, my mom hid. If my mom did not hide the candy, I would not be able. Yeah, just. Right? I'm a liar. It's ugly. The Bible says God is a God of truth. I confess it. It's ugly. And I get rid. I'm letting go of this lying. I'm going to become a truthful man, truthful woman. And every time the tendency to lie, I would judge it immediately. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Right? Because you don't even have to count. Every time you're about to do it, Holy Spirit will pinch you here. He will pinch you right here. Say, Say, how much did they give you? They gave you 200. But because you don't want to tell that person it's 200, so you don't have to share everything. You say, I think, how much was it even? How much did they even give me? Huh. I think it was just 150. You know, it's the spirit of lying. You have slept with that spirit of lying for so long. Almost everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. Well, so just say, okay, it's ugly, but I'm ready to change. There's no controversy in that. Because you know what? While the other person can look at you as a liar, because truly you are and it's ugly, there are some things you can look at them as too, that is just as ugly. So, who is superior? I'm a liar, you are stubborn. Which one is better? God doesn't call anyone better, right? So, the two of us, let's agree, it's ugly, we don't want ugly, we want good. So, we are going to change it. Me, I'm going to stop being a liar with the word and the Holy Spirit. You are going to stop being stubborn with the word and the Holy Spirit. And don't be telling me, well, the Holy Ghost told me stubbornness is good. That's stubbornness is a spiritual gift. Where is that? Where is that in your Bible? And one of the keys to the Lord being able to work in our lives, there's got to be yieldedness. We've got to be willing to yield. Whenever people are not willing to yield, it's a huge problem. That's when we get all the way to irreconcilable differences. Because I'm stuck in my way, you are stuck in your way, we will never meet, ever. I'm always right, you are always wrong. I'm always right, you are always wrong. There will never be a meeting point. Somebody say, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Word of God. Let's go here. God can destroy every dryness in our lives. God can bring about a total revolution of our lives to the point where our dryness becomes a restored place that the Holy Spirit can walk in. Every dryness in our lives, every dryness, every area of lack, every area of struggle can become areas where the Holy Spirit can flow. Flow is better than struggle. He said in John chapter 7, let's read that quick. Look at the time. John chapter 7 verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. The Holy Spirit will bring rivers of living water into your life. Look with me at Isaiah 32. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of restoration. He eradicates every dryness. When we have an active, qualitative walk with the Holy Spirit, there can never be any dryness in our lives. Doesn't mean the devil won't try to bring dryness, but the Holy Spirit keeps flowing as a river. He keeps flowing as a river. Here he said, in Isaiah 32 verse 13, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Watch this now. That's not the plan of God. Amen. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The fort and the tower shall be for dens forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. A house that was designed and built to be inhabited can become run down and abandoned. A life that's supposed to be full of joy can be full of brokenness and depression. I've always said it, and I had the opportunity to say it again a few days ago. Listen to this. The devil works with a long plan. He always works the long game. Every single thing that happens in our lives, the enemy is not doing those things just for today. Everything the enemy does in your life is not just for right now. Unfortunately, as believers, we are right now people. Everything must be right now. We want to prosper right now. We want to be blessed right now. We want to have promotion right now. We want to have favor right now. And if we don't have it right now, it's not worth waiting on. That's how most believers think. If you say to believers, sow and receive. They say, no, I won't receive now. I won't receive right now. So if I receive, if I will receive, I don't mind. I will sow my $20 if I will receive $200 right now. I have to have it right now. But if I won't have that $200 right now, please leave me with my $20. I'm happy. That's how most believers think. If you said to believers today, take the instructions of the Holy Spirit on forgiveness and love. And they ask you, will I see immediate result? Will everything suddenly turn around? If you say not immediately, it may take a while. They say, no, I won't do that. If you to turn around right now, I'm ready to do it. Because we are always in the now. We want it now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit was showing me this illustration a couple of days ago. You know, if you said to someone, what's the benefit of going to school? You have two people who graduated together from high school. And the first one said, you know, I just think, you know, there's no benefit to going to that school. Why go? And they go do something that is pleasurable. And the other one goes to school. And they check in with one another after 1 year. Say, so how's life going for you, friend? And he says, oh man, the one in college, it's so tough. I hardly sleep in the night. It's read, assignment, project, research is never ending. I don't have money. How about you? How are things with you? Oh man, things are so good. I sleep anytime I want to sleep. I wake up anytime. I leave anything. I should say, listen, you know. So what is the benefit of going to that school? You won't know it until 4 years later. But 4 years later, you will know it. Make that call again after 4 years. How are you doing? Yeah. I'm still sleeping. I'm still sleeping. Anytime. You know, I wake up anytime. I sleep anytime. I do whatever I want to do. I'm good. How about you? Well, the pressure is a little less now. I'm done with the homeworks. I graduated, got my degree. I just got a job. It's a starter job. Oh, okay. Good for you. Good for you. Call again in another 4 years. You know what? The gulf keeps getting wider. Exactly. But in the moment, there's no benefit. There's no benefit. Why? Why put yourself through that? What's the benefit? You have to give up your freedoms. You have to give up your... There's no benefit. And this is how many believers think. They think there's no benefit. What is the benefit? I tell you where the benefit is. Just give it some time. The gulf keeps getting wider. Yes. I tell you that. The gulf. You know why? Because there are things that have been put in place. Yes. The gulf keeps getting wider. The covenant will produce in your life. The covenant will produce in your life. When you are going through it, they say, oh, you are going to church again? Going to church again. What do you get from that church? Did you get the promotion yet? No, I'm still trusting God. There you are reading your Bible every day. What do you get from that Bible? It's coming. How about you? Are you reading? Oh, no. Once every year. Christmas and Easter. I sleep whenever I want to sleep. I wake up whenever I want to wake up. I go play golf on Sunday. I'm having fun. Call them back in 4 years. Ask them, how is your golf going? Your golf playing, how is it going? Well, you know, I don't know. This life is such a mess. I met someone. We got married. He destroyed my life. Huh? In 4 years? Yeah, totally destroyed my life. Before you got married, did you speak with anyone? No, we just met, you know, we were in love. Did you have any counsel? No, counsel for what? No, we just, you know, we're in love. We eloped in Vegas. Ask them, give it 4 more years. Ask them, how is that life going? Like, man, I just don't think I want to live. I just want to die. My whole life is a mess. You know where I started from? Way back there. This is how believers think. The devil has a long-term plan for you, against you. And we have to outsmart him. How do we do it? The Word, the Holy Spirit. The Word, the Holy Spirit. He said all of this is going to be abandoned until, he said, until, in verse 15, until the Holy Spirit is poured out from us, from high, on high. And the wilderness will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will be counted for a forest. I could go on and on. I don't want to. I want to teach, but I don't feel like, I don't even think I'm graced to teach this morning. I should just close. All I'm saying to you, there's no mystery to life. There's no mystery to life. Many times we don't even realize the benefits of the Word of God that we sit under. You just don't realize how that Word is shaping your life. Outside of that Word, the boundaries are thrown away. There's nothing really guarding us and steering us in the right direction. We just live anyhow. The Bible says where there is no revelation knowledge, people just live anyhow. Your life is together. You may not feel it. You may not think it is. Because you may be measuring things by how the world measures it. How much money, how much this, how much that. That is nothing. Come back in 4 years and make that call and check where things are. What you have today, what the Holy Spirit gives you, what the Word of God produces in your life is far more valuable than silver and gold. It may not give you a brand new limousine, may not build you a mansion in the best part of the city, but it will eventually. All you need to do, just stick with that Word. Just keep living by that Word. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit every day. It's allowing Him to lead you and to guide you. Take every step. Every step following His lead. If there's ugliness, admit it. Yeah, it's ugly. Don't make excuses for it. Don't say it's from my great-great-great-great-grandfather. Don't say it's a witch. It's a witch. No, it's not a witch. It's you. See, there's this no responsibility kind of religion that people love. So everything bad that happens in our life, we want to blame somebody for it. Take responsibility. You and God are a formidable force. You cannot be stopped. You can change anything with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm closing. You can play that closing music. I love it. Please. I really am closing. And I just really want to pray over us. You know, I don't have too much word. I mean, I have a full note, but I just, you know, just want to speak over you. The life of God will be made man. Stand to your feet, please, everybody. The life of God will be made manifest in your life. Let's go back here. It's ugly. It's Genesis 1:1. It's ugly, okay. Don't make excuses for it. Admit it, accept it. And then don't try to bully your way through it. Bully your way by using your authority. Bully your way by using words, a lot of words. Because you know the other person can't speak as much as you can. Bully your way by using quote-unquote Holy Spirit, God. No, admit it. If it's ugly, it's ugly. But what do you want? Do you want that ugly? No. I want good. Okay. We know how God produced good in the beginning. It's the Word and the Holy Spirit. So this ugly does not have to define our lives. Just like the ugliness at the beginning did not have to define the universe. So take the Word, yield to it, yield to the Holy Spirit, and then begin to take steps to be different, to be better, to change. And as that change happens in your life, what you are going to find is you are going from ugly to good. Even you, after a while, may not recognize yourself because of what the Lord has done in your life. And then, don't stop there. So there's good here now, but God wants to do more good. When you start feeling Him tugging in your heart, all right, you are doing well in this area. This area, I need, you know, some people, I'm going to use something very, very cheap here, very, you know. Some people say, you know, I'm always late. You know, it's because the children, before they had children, they were always late. Right? I'm just using something very, very simple. Even before children came, they were always late. And after children left, they are still always late. So you can't say, is the children. So if you say, God, as simple as that is, do you know when you are always behind in time, do you know you become behind in your destiny? When you get so comfortable with being behind, then if you are always running and always cutting it like very close, very close, very close, guess what? Do you know every time you get to an event, it takes your system time to settle in. You get there, you are already upset, you are already, you know, the calmness of the Holy Spirit you can't have because you are hurrying. Listen, the Lord may say, let's work on your timeliness. You say, Holy Spirit, timeliness, let's leave that. Everybody in my family is always late. He said, you be the example. You be early. Let's work on that. He said, Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, I have 5 children. How would I ever be early with 5 children? I'll give you wisdom. You know, this is very simple. They're not hard. And then just take steps. And when you take those steps, you will stumble. You will not get it right all the time. Nobody does, because we are all imperfect. And when you miss it, just get up and say, oh, ugly again. All right, but I'm not staying with ugly. In Jesus' name, I'm going to good. And keep walking. And don't blame yourself. I think next Wednesday, on that Wednesday service, we're talking about even receiving forgiveness. For us. Many believers don't know how to receive forgiveness. We don't know how to give it, and we don't know how to receive it. So if you miss it, receive forgiveness, get up, and go back and do it again. And this time, say, I'm going to succeed where I failed. And do it. If you're always getting there 10 minutes late, say, this time, I'm going to be there 10 minutes early. Surprise yourself. Set this as a goal. And then, you know what? When you are there early, you sit down, you see people rushing in. But you are calm. It's difficult for the Holy Spirit to speak to you when you're always late. I'm serious. You need calmness of mind and peace for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you are late, you are already upset. You are already, you know. And if you are not careful, you may even have an accident because you are rushing. And then the people that are blocking you, you curse them out. And then you remember, I'm going to church. I shouldn't be cursing people out. I mean, this happens to all of us. So, just take the steps you need to take. Let the Lord correct. And when He corrects that, move to the next. As the Holy Spirit, this is not religion, this is not legalism. As the Holy Spirit shows you, and then grow and keep on growing and keep on growing, and the Lord will bring you to the best place that He has ordained for your life. Father, I'm really thankful to You for this service today. It's different from what I planned. But I thank You because You came in here to minister Your word to us, to speak to us, God, in our day-to-day living experiences. You came in here not to bring condemnation or any of this negative. No, Lord, to show us how You can bring beauty out of our lives. How You can take us to where You've ordained for us. How, Lord, You can produce glory out of what was previously undesirable. I thank You, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice. All of my brothers and sisters in this room and everyone that is online with us and those that will listen to this message afterwards. I'm asking You today, we reject this ugliness, Father. You did not create us for this ugliness. So we don't want it anymore. We're tired of it. We want better than ugly. We want good. We want very good. And I'm lifting up everyone under the sound of my voice today. In whatever areas of their lives they are struggling, whatever areas of their lives things are not working the way they know they should work, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit, we invite You, we yield to You. You are no longer a footnote in our lives. You are no longer a footnote in our experience. We make You front and center. We will yield to You. We will follow You. We will let You guide us. We will let You show us what we need to do. We will let You direct the course of our lives. We will be yielded. We will be humble before You. And we look up to You to perfect everything that concerns us. We give You all the glory. I give You all the praise. Bear with me, saints. Just keep your eyes closed in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that foul spirit of depression. I take authority over you right now. That suicidal spirit, I take authority over you. Lose your hold over that child of God now in the name of Jesus. That feeling of hopelessness that has created a bondage around that child, you lose your hold now, you satanic spirit. I take authority over you. You spirit of regret, spirit of pain, in the name of Jesus, I confront you with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that by the anointing, every yoke is destroyed. I break every yoke. I destroy every limitation you put around that child of God. You lose it now. Lose it now. Amen. Amen. That dark spirit, sadness and sorrow and pain, I lose your hold and I speak light in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare hope upon the people of God today. I declare hope upon the people of God today. I command that dreams come back to life. Dreams come back to life. Dreams they gave up on. Dreams people told them would never. I command in the name of Jesus, come back to life. Wholeness. Wholeness. Good is not good enough in one area. Good is not good enough in one area. I receive wholeness, total life, prosperity, total. Speak that over yourself. Good is not good enough in just one area of my life. I receive wholeness, total life, prosperity in every area of my life. In the name of Jesus, in my spiritual life, in my mental being, in my physical body, in my relationships, in my career. in my ministry, in my family, with my children, in my marriage, in my profession, in my business, in my finances. I receive total life prosperity. Good is not good enough in just one area. I receive wholeness and total life prosperity. I receive wholeness and total life prosperity in the name of Jesus. As I close this out today, I want you to think of someone. If there is anyone at all, if there is anyone at all in your life where breaches have been created, where there's been unforgiveness and malice, if there's anyone at all, short of them being people who would not, they would not in any way receive anything from you, I want you to set your heart upon those people and go out after them. Reach out to them in love. Reach out to them. Listen to me. Your health could depend on this. Your living a full, complete life could depend on this. Your prospering in different areas of your life could depend on this. You go out after them. You take the first step. Maybe you didn't do wrong. Say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Forgive me for being so distant. Forgive me for being so far away from you. Forgive me for allowing something so little to become something so big. Forgive me. Let's make it right. Invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take your place. Take your place. Breathe restoration over this. Breathe healing over this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We will not live in unforgiveness. We will not tolerate unforgiveness or strife. No, we will not. We will not live in malice. We will not. We will be examples of God's children, a good heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, you don't have to struggle to do that. The blood of Jesus was shed to empower you to do it. The Holy Spirit has all that you need to help you do it. I see healing. I just feel you can see how slow this is this morning. And forgive me for doing that. But I can just sense it. I can just sense something is going on in the Spirit. I'm seeing those chains falling out. I'm seeing miracles happening. I'm seeing lives being healed. I'm seeing restoration across borders. I'm seeing that in the Spirit. The blood of Jesus was shed to bring us to a place of wholeness. He said, when you eat my flesh, when you eat my flesh, you will know life. You will know real life. We're eating his flesh this morning. We're eating his flesh this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for testimonies out of this. Thank you for testimonies out of this. Thank you for turnarounds out of this, Lord. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This will be a week of testimony for you. This will be a week of testimony for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There will be a rush into your life of the manifold wisdom, the manifold mercies and favors of God this week in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You will take another step forward this week in the name of Jesus. You will plunder the gates of hell this week. You will take hold of the things that belong to you in Christ this week. In the name of Jesus. In some areas of your life, you are going to see definite turnaround. There's going to be miracles happening. In the name of Jesus. you will not be the same person that returns to this service next week. Something different would have happened to you by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. Come on. Just let him breathe on you for a minute, the Holy Spirit. Come on. Let him just breathe on you. Take him in. Take him in. Calmly, calmly. Be calm. Just let him breathe on you. Let him breathe. Yeah.